Namaste. Today we shall reflect upon the idea that we have of ourselves. We are limited by the idea we carry about of ourselves. For example, if we have the idea that we are just this finite little lump of clay, then we are this lump of clay, this matter, which is prone to all the various things that we can imagine, to all the forces of nature. If we imagine that we are just a little biological cell which has somehow formed out of this aggregate of matter, out of this mud and clay with the action of some sunlight and wind and water, then we are nothing but the primal soup which has been put into small little boundaries and packets of cells. And therefore, naturally, we are very limited, because each of this cell and an aggregate of cell, each of the organs and even the whole body is impacted upon by a whole universe and countless forces of various kinds. If we think that we are just this thought, this mind which can think, analyze, conceptualize, reason out, no doubt we go a little one step closer, but still we are limited. And if by some reason our mind is invaded — mind is indeed a very powerful thing, Shobindu speaks about it as a mediator divinity — but if our mind space is occupied by doubt, by fear, by anxieties, if the mind is paralyzed, then the entire structure, edifice of matter and cells, the body, the organs, they all begin to crumble. Mind skips the switch and everything begins to take that form. So what is it that we should conceptualize ourselves? What is the highest conception that we should have of ourselves? Of course, we should realize it, not just conceptualize it. But all realization begins by conception. The greatest conception that has been given to man, whether in the West or East — only thing is that in the Western context, the mysticism has been replaced by religion and therefore it is forgotten. The big problem of this kind of religion is that there is an unbridgeable gulf between man and God. So man is man, he is a sinner, he is a limited entity, he is a limited being. And the only way he can be redeemed is after death by some great God out there, if he accepts to be under his fold. And to be under his fold means to accept a certain belief system. It means to follow certain outer practices. And then after his death, nothing much he can do while he's in his lifetime, but after his death, he may be raised either to heaven or he may be sent to eternal damnation and hell. But the Eastern conception, which was also the Western mystic conception — but as I said, unfortunately, the mysticism and spirituality in the Western context has been lost to religion. Whereas in the Indian context, it has been alive because of a lineage of masters. So what is the Indian conception? The Indian conception is, O man, arise, awake, thou art Brahman indeed. Thou art the infinite. Thou art the eternal. Thou art not just this limited body. Even if the body were pierced, yet thou shalt be conscious, fully alive, in delight, inwardly fully alive. In the Indian conception, it is whether I live or die, I am. And this state can be so powerful that it can have an impact and impress even upon the body, the cells, this aggregate that constitutes us. We are not this, but this is an instrument. Now, the difference is, in one conception, the body is me. Imagine an instrument thinks it's me. So it is not cared for. It is lying. Somebody picks up and uses it. Another person comes up and uses it. So we are identified with the instrument, and therefore all kinds of forces use us. Today the force of desire, tomorrow the force of anger, third day the force of joy, fourth day the force of grief, fifth day maybe something known as the divine, something which is higher and beautiful. Fifth day it is the subconscious which uses it. So we are like an idle instrument which anybody can use. But if we take this instrument and surrender to the divine, that you alone use it — maybe a pen or a sword or a flute, it is yours, or maybe just a piece of paper — you use it, Lord. And then this body becomes an instrument for the divine manifestation. So it is not just that I am Brahman within, but this body, this mind, this life, this heart is to be a faithful servitor of the divine. And then the whole thing changes. The tables are turned and we are no more a helpless being, creature, defending oneself by the strength or weakness of our own egoistic tendencies, surviving or dying depending upon what is the sum total of our constitution. But someone who goes safely through life because we are surrounded by the divine presence, because we have surrendered this instrument in the hands of the divine. This is what we have to remember. This is what we have to live. So this is a point of transition. At any point, transition can be made. Those who are already living this way must know that if our life, our destiny, our instrumentality has been surrendered to the divine, then it is the divine lookout. Finished. Period. We don't need to worry about it. But if we have not, it is still a moment of choice, because in life every time there is a moment of choice. And I suppose all these things that come to us in the form of outer challenges are moments of choice. Even this can be a wonderful moment of choice where we can stop being this limited, death-hunted creature, limited by various kinds of impacts from here and there, driven like a madman. Only we don't use the word madman, we reserve it for some special people. Though, if you really look at our life, inner life, what a jostle and jumble, like a public square, our mind is constantly jumping from one thought to another, completely contradictory. If you look at our life, passions now flowing in this direction, now another, the body impacted by all the forces, then it is veritably a madhouse. But this is a moment of choice, and if in that moment of choice, even in the midst of danger and difficulty, if we can suddenly make this grand act of surrender, Lord, my life is thine. Make it thine. Up till now, I have not lived it this way. I have lived like a fool. The divine is not going to question us, oh, last minute you are going to surrender. No. He rather accepts us just as we are. All that he sees is whether this surrender is truly sincere or not. It is called in the Gita as the Prarthana, Arth Prarthana. In that state, when we are confronted with danger and we suddenly say, my life is thine, take care of it. And then we come out, and all that we need to do then is to keep renewing this act of surrender, to make it grow in each and every detail of our being. And then we can walk through life without the least fear, as Shivendra puts it, to walk through life armored against all fear, peril and disaster. Only two things are needed. Two that go always together. The grace of the Divine Mother. And from your side, an inner state made up of faith, sincerity and surrender. So instead of trying to keep analyzing the difficulty and letting it run into our heads, let us pray and aspire to grow in faith, to grow in sincerity, and to make our surrender more and more complete, more and more entire. Namaste.